You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that is coming up on Wednesday, the 3rd of October. And on Wednesday, we're going to be racing in Nottingham and Salisbury, Cork over in Ireland. We've got Bangor to come as well in Newcastle in the evening as our sole evening meeting on Wednesday. Join the guys in the studio from 20 past one for coverage of all the day's racing. But you're on the podcast. My name's John Gibby, and I'm joined in the studio by another John. John Babb. Hello, John.
Hello.
It's not again. It's not as bad as yesterday when it was me, you, and John O'Connell all doing racing radio together. So it was a trio of Johns.
No, it's just a brace.
No, it is indeed. It is indeed. But yeah, good to have you with us. And we'll start off by taking a look at Wednesday's racing, and you've got two selections for us, and you've gone to Newcastle in the evening for both of those two picks.
I touched a bit on the show yesterday, so I'm looking at these cards and I'd almost probably prefer the grass cards at the moment. If it was more conventional ground for the time of year, I'd actually prefer if it was good to soft ground. We're dealing with, you know, good to firm at Nottingham and Salisbury, which have both produced pretty large fields which you would expect for the time of year, but I'd almost rather be dealing with autumn horses on soft ground and looking for those rather than horses where the ground's applicable to a lot of them, and a lot of them are still continuing to run. They've had long seasons and a lot of tired horses in amongst. They just make the cards particularly tricky. And I had a glance down them, and I'm thinking, I'm actually really getting into sort of winter season mode now, and looking more at the all weather. It's on nearly every day now. So although we haven't converted as to what would the normally winter season would be, which is obviously beginning of November, really when the clocks change and the turf ends. For me, when we've got all-weather racing virtually every day, with the twilight racing now starting on Monday and Tuesday, for me, it's starting now. And that's why I'm sort of focusing probably more of my attention towards it.
Okay, well, where's the first of your two selections from? Which race?
The first one I've looked at is in the 6 o'clock, the Apprentice Handicap. We see some typical names here for Newcastle handicaps, and you know, some stalwarts here really from the very early days of the conversion to the all-weather track. You know, I think War Department was one of the early winners there, and he won again last week, and comes here under a penalty today. And he's definitely a runner that's going to be on a few people shortlist tomorrow, as is the runner-up in last week's race, Guncase, who's a little bit better off with War Department. And you've got horses like Amood, who's got plenty of form here as well, but he wins very, very rarely. But he's running some better races than this in his time. But I'm going to be looking elsewhere here. I'm looking at a horse called Deansgate from the Julie Camacho yard. Now, he's got good form here. If we look at his form card, and I'll just pull that up while we're speaking. He's been away from the all-weather for a while and now returning, presumably for a winter campaign. But he ran recently at Redcar, and he was racing quite a long way away from the main action behind a horse called Tadawal of Roger Fells. He was under today's jockey, or tomorrow's jockey as we speak, Conor Murta, who's having his first sit on the horse. And for me, you didn't want to be drawn where he was drawn at Redcar and racing where he was. And I just... He'd run very moderately at Thirst the time before, and he's had a fairly light campaign over the summer, just the 4 races. He's almost like just been ticked over by his stable, knowing that a campaign on the win, particularly at Newcastle, is ahead for him. If we look at it last year, September through to January, Newcastle, his 4 runs there, rock solid form. All at marks in the early 70s, never been beaten probably by more than by a couple of lengths, culminating in a victory over My Amigo in January under Paul Mulrennan off a mark of 73. I just think that he's ready to strike now. I think that was probably a little bit of a pipe opener for the all-weather season, and back off a mark of 74, I think Julie Camacho's horse Deansgate will be a big runner back on the artificial at Newcastle tomorrow.
Deansgate then for John Babin. That's 6 o'clock at Newcastle, that apprentice handicap over 7 furlongs. And what about your second selection at the meeting?
Yeah, I've got to wait till the final race of the day for that one, I'm afraid.
Keep the anticipation going, John.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, no turning off to watch Champions League football or anything like that. Stick with Newcastle, because that's where the money's to be made. Yeah, again, another 14-runner handicap. People think I'm a glutton for punishment, and I possibly am a little bit tomorrow, because I did look at the novice stakes races here, and I thought it was probably unlikely I was going to be digging up any value, and I didn't think they were great races either, to be honest. So we were dealing with the handicaps, and the horse I'm going to come up with here, again, with a sort of similar-ish profile, I would say, to my first selection in a horse that's been running primarily on the grass recently, but has got good track form when we look back at previous winter form, and that's Star Cracker from the Jim Goldie Yard. He's had a fair few more runs during the summer, but it has seen his mark plummet down to a mark of 50. Now, if we go back to his all-weather form early in the year, he's running really well here in similar sprint handicaps of marks around 59 and 60. And winning in December off 57 quite cosily when he beat Broughton's Fancy under PJ McDonald. I just feel that the key to this horse is going to be coming back onto this surface tomorrow in quite a low grade race. He's in a 46 to 55, which is pretty a lowly affair for this horse. I mean, even if we look a couple of runs back on the grass, he's running 2.5 lengths behind Yes You. He's only got beaten 6 lengths in the race behind Guardius Svitzera. Better grade of races than this one tomorrow. So I feel Starcracker is going to benefit not only from the return to Newcastle, but also from a fair drop in grade. Daniel Tudhope, a decent booking, drawn in box 7, which is perfect for this track to race up the middle. So he'll have a bit of cover there, and just looks perfect for tomorrow in what is a very, very moderate event. So Starcracker, he'd probably be my main selection of the two.
So Starcracker, the main selection for John Babin at 8:30 Newcastle. Final race on Wednesday's cards, and it means our final live race on Racing Radio. But if you can sit through until the end, then you'll manage to find out if that is going to be a winning pick or not.
And that'll decide whether I go to bed a happy man on Wednesday or not.
Now, we'll switch our attention from the racing at Newcastle on Wednesday to just slightly higher quality action on Sunday, and of course we have Europe's richest race. I was sat out in the office for ages trying to work out if this is the richest race in the world on turf and things like that, which it's not anymore apparently. But
is it not? What is?
You know the Everest in Australia?
Okay. I didn't know that.
No. Yeah, it's now overtaken it. But anyway, it'll always be number one for me. It's certainly number one in Europe. And we're going to bring in Lucy Hughes as well. Hello, Lucy.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
John.
Who joins us to take a look at the Arc coming up on Sunday. 3 o'clock, of course, at Longchamp. It's live on Racing Radio as well. Obviously, we don't usually play the Irish racing, but we will have the Arc on Sunday. Just to go through the betting at time of recording, Enable 10 to 11, 4 to 1 then for CF Class, Worldgeist is 15 to 2, 12 to 1 Kew Gardens, Cracksman is 14 to 1, 33 to 1 Study of Man, 40 to 1 and Bigger for the rest. We asked John what his selection was last night on Racing Radio, so I already have a good idea what he's going to say. But Lucy, over to you. Enable, obviously, looking to go for a second win in this race for a second year in a row, but off the back of only one win so far this year, only one run from and one at Kempton on the all-weather, not an ideal preparation.
No, not an ideal preparation, but I think if it was any other horse, it would be a really, really tough ask. But because we know what she's already achieved, she's obviously from a top yard. She was a top three-year-old filly last year. So I think that's why she's top of the betting. I mean, it would be fantastic if she won back-to-back arcs. Coming into it off one run is quite incredible as well. So I think she's a worthy favourite, but it's not going to be easy for her.
It's not going to be easy. Do you think she's going to do it?
I think she's going to do it, but it's interesting that top two in the market are both fillies. Obviously, CF Class 3-year-old, so she won't have as much weight. But it's, yeah, very interesting. Those two are very short in the market, and the rest are quite bigger.
Well, fillies have a really good recent record in this race, don't they? Obviously, Enable last year, Found, Trev won it twice, going back a bit further to Dane Dream. You know, I think it's 6 out of the last 7 winners of this race have been fillies. I was actually asking John about this on Racing Radio last night. Maybe it is the weight allowance, especially for the 3-year-olds that they get from the colts and even the older fillies at this time of year, that's giving them a slight advantage potentially.
And this time of year as well. I think the fillies love this time of year. It's not in the heat of the summer. They might feel a bit fresher. They might feel you know, they've got a bit more to offer than the others that have been maybe had a lot more racing. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I mean, going back a long way, in sort of my early days of racing, probably long before you two were born, people would always say to me, always follow a filly in form in the autumn. It was always a big thing, you know, stick with them. And you used to see quite a lot of winning runs put together in handicaps and sort of through September and October. And I think it's not something you hear talked about quite so much these days, but I don't think it's gone away. Mm. I think it's still there. And I think we've got a combination of the two factors. I think you've got the weight for age, which people have been banging on about for quite some time. Mm. There's been a slight adjustment to the weight for age in handicaps in the UK, but it's still there in this particular group race. And also you've got the weight for sex, which we touched on air yesterday. And I think at the top end, it's almost time that should be binned. In the early stages of a horse's career, I can understand it, particularly at the age of two and three, and when they're unraced, they may just be a little bit more backward. But I think when we're talking about the horses of the highest calibre, particularly when they've got to the age of three and four, I'm not sure they need it anymore. And we've seen it with a lot of over various distances, whether it be a mile and a quarter, mile and a half. Some real top class mares, and they haven't needed the allowance at all. They'd have won without it, and I just wonder whether it's actually relevant anymore.
So, with that in mind, John, are you looking towards a filly to win this year's renewal deal?
Yeah, a 3-year-old one actually, John. Yes,
funny that.
Yeah, William Haggis's CF class. I touched on this yesterday. My biggest worry is getting beaten by a big field, and she gets a poor draw in a big field and left with an awful lot of horses to pass, and doesn't get the look of the race because she's not going to be ridden prominently. She has got a hell of a turn of foot, and I just worry that this is going to be... as long as she gets a good draw and gets a good passage through, I think she's got the turn of foot to win this race, no doubt at all. I think she's absolutely top class. But it's only a bad run in the race that can beat her for me, and that includes Enable. Just because I think the ground is far more favourable to her turn of foot than it is to Enable. And I mean, it may well be that you never know on the day one of them might not run. I noticed that CF Class is still in the Champion Stakes as well. If there was a deluge in Paris towards the weekend, I don't think there's one forecast. You never know, she might come out and be rerouted
after they've supplemented her low.
It's not like me and you, we haven't clubbed together and robbed and taken every penny out the bank, have we? You know what I mean?
I think we might be struggling.
I think these people, I don't think they worry about the supplements.
But the ground has been a bit of a talking point, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, of course.
They doesn't look like Cracksman's going to take his chance.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, we can understand why, but a lot of people have been worried about the ground conditions out there because we're still a bit in the unknown, aren't we? Racing on the new Paris-Longchamps. And there's no sign of rain yet, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why Enable shouldn't go around there. But normally, when you talk about a past arc winner, you're normally thinking, oh, yeah, a horse that's operated around Longchamp. Well, obviously, she hasn't. She won round Chanty. But it shouldn't make a fat lot of difference. She's such a good filly. She should operate around anywhere, to be honest.
But and she's won on all sorts of ground last
she has,
year, last
yeah.
season, didn't she?
Do you remember that King George when it was absolutely lashing it down, wasn't it?
And the Oaks as well. Yeah. So deluge.
Yeah. But I don't think there's any doubt that she would prefer some cut in the ground. Obviously, and then she's gone to Kempton rather than going on firm ground on the grass, etc. So, but there's only one arc, isn't there? She doesn't go this year. She's gonna have to wait for next year. But I don't know what the future is for it with Enable. Whether they're going to keep her going as a 5-year-old or whether she's going to.
Shouldn't have thought so.
I wouldn't have thought so. No. This could be a finale. I would have thought, but especially after an injury as well. So.
Quick word on the winner of the William Hill St. Ledger Kew Gardens. It looks like it's going to be Aidan O'Brien's main challenger in this race. Lucy, we were talking about this horse a little bit earlier on. Obviously, he's already a Group 1 winner over course and distance, in fact, a few starts ago. But looks like a bit more of a stayer going forward, maybe?
Arguably, that probably wouldn't have had a quality of field that this arc has. Mm. So, and obviously, he was a great winner of the St. Ledger. I've been saying that race was absolutely made for him. So dropping back in trip with a slightly better quality of field, I think he might just... You need everything in the art, don't you? You need pace, you need to stay the mile and a half.
You need to have and you need to have a turn of foot at some stage.
I'm not sure he quite has that.
No, I don't.
Injection of speed.
you're in agreement, John.
Yeah, I mean he's a quality horse, but I don't think he's got the crucial turn of foot at the time it'll be needed in this race.
Right, there's so many others we could mention. We could touch on the French Challenge. We could talk about the Godolphin runners. We could talk about Capri and horses like that.
But there's a lot of them with samey form. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Valgeist is quite the class either. And a lot of the others that are bigger in the market, they all look sort of, I don't know, decent Group 2 type animals to me, rather than real top quality to trouble the likes of Enable or Sea of Class.
And we are out of time, unfortunately.
Are we?
Yeah. Yeah,
we're just getting going as well.
I know.
We were being timed.
No.
we don't usually have two funded, so we could have gone on for ages. Yeah. But unfortunately, that is all we've got time for. John, thanks for being with us.
No problem.
Lucy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Another Daily Racing podcast coming out tomorrow. And join us on Racing Radio on Wednesday for all the day's action from us here at William Hill.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.